Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's continue what we have been discussing on the force of faith. Again, today by reading once again from Genesis chapter 18. The story here is when the Lord came down from heaven and he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he stopped by the tent of Abraham. And when he was about to depart from him, he said from verse 17, the King James Version, he said, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Now, we have been talking about the force of faith, and we said that faith is a force. It's not just a state of the heart, but it actually goes out of our hearts and brings forth results. As we have seen here, that God speaks things about people, and then there are determining factors which will allow the thing to be done or prevent the thing from being done. The fact that God has said something is no guarantee that it will be done. In fact, the Bible says that the word preached did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. That is, when God's word is preached, people must unite it with faith. The most important determining factor to decide whether something will happen as God has spoken or will not happen is our faith. And then we said that this faith is not something we just make up our minds. A lot of us thought so, but it's not exactly like that. Everybody has a little measure of faith, we know, but that you have to build up that measure of faith in your heart until you get to a level in which you can believe God for great things. And we said that God has called every one of his children. If you call yourself a child of God, this is why God called you. God has called us, every one of us, to help other people inherit their own heritages, which at the moment may be desolate. That is, people may be sick. God needs somebody who will, by faith, bring forth from heaven the great healing power of God. Now, you see here, God said it clearly concerning Abraham, that look at this guy, he is going to become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, when God wants to do that for people, he first needs a person of faith. You are a person of destiny, a person of purpose. I am a person of destiny, I'm a person of purpose. But for the purpose and destiny of my life to be manifested, the same thing as yours, God needs our faith to rise up to a great level. The higher the faith in our hearts can rise, the greater the things that we can bring down from heaven for people to enjoy. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's the way it works. The higher your level of faith, the greater the thing that you can bring down from heaven. I said, when God wanted to bring the greatest thing down to the earth, which was Jesus Christ, he knew he had to build up a man of great faith. So he looked for a man of small faith who was willing to listen to him to move. I said something last time that Abraham is not just a man of great faith because he agreed to move when God said he should move. Moving was already in his character. Number one, he was not the one that moved down to Haran from where God called him. It was his father Terah that God told to move from the Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham was used to moving. Even after God called him, he was used to moving. He was like a nomad. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? That's what Abraham was. So moving to a new path was not exactly a manifestation of great faith, but a manifestation of little faith. But God said, this is a good person to build faith in. Are you getting my point? And why did God say that? God said that it is because I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. You will see that that's another condition for which people will receive the promise of God. There are things that we must do for God to be able to release his blessing into our lives. But we are speaking about the one of faith. So God said, this Abraham, for him to bring forth something great for the people of the earth, then he must have great faith. Therefore, God began to teach him in faith. Let me say this again to all of us. The challenges of your life are the opportunities that God has given you to build great faith, so that when you will have overcome them, great things will come to this earth through your hands. Are you getting my point? A lot of us look at challenges as a sign of difficulty or of God's disfavor, that God is not happy with us. So we start running and we start blaming people. I said something before, that thanksgiving is a basic ingredient for building great faith. That a murmuring man is somebody who will never have faith. Are you getting my point? His faith cannot be built to a great level. So when I live in a country that is classified a third world nation or a developing country, which is a nice way of saying that these people have refused to develop. Do you understand my point? All those statements are made out of just trying to sound okay, that is politically correct. That don't call them underdeveloped. They call them developing. That is, we are praying to God that one day they will come out of this mud that they are in. They will come out of this merry clay and their feet will be upon a rock. That's what they mean by developing. It's okay. If I have been born in a country that is developing, do I wake up in the morning and say, well, power is still developing? You understand what I say? Therefore, I don't have it. Water is still developing. It's not flowing in my house. The roads are still developing. Thank God they are really developing now in this our area. Do you understand what I mean? And then, you know, we complain and complain. So because these things are still developing. Therefore, let us start complaining about our past leaders. Let us start worrying about the corrupt government officials. Let us start cursing the white man who looted our countries and took the good parts away. Forgetting the fact that we are still begging to go to his good country till today. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Then we'll start complaining and grumbling. If we are like that, then faith to bring forth something great can never be born into our lives. That's what I'm trying to explain. But if I wake up and I thank God, say, Lord, power is still developing. What can I do to make it develop? Water is still developing. Healthcare is still developing. Sound moral character in the heart of our young people is still developing. Good educational systems are still developing. God, in which area can I help people inherit their desolate heritages? Then God said, this is a good heart. Are you getting my point? It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, I will suddenly begin to have great faith. No. Then God begins to teach me in faith. Through my challenges, I will discover God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Through the problems of my life, I will discover God. Let me explain a principle to us concerning Abraham and the sacrifice of Isaac. Of course, when you start reading Bible stories, you heard that Abraham took his son. And when God was going to command Abraham to go and sacrifice Isaac, I like the way he rubbed it in. He said, take thy son, thy only. That is, God not only told him that this, you will take your son, he reminded him that this is the only one you got. Because by that time, he had told him to get rid of Ishmael. So this was his only son. And he said, what am I supposed to do with him? Take him to Mount Moriah. I will show you a particular spot. And then you will kill him there. And this man actually got up and went ahead to go and sacrifice Isaac. Now, you read that. You said that is great faith. And as a matter of fact, contrary to what we thought that his movement was great faith, that really was great faith. Do you get what I'm saying? He had never done it before. He wasn't aware of any of his friends who did it before. Because now what made it real faith is not just the fact that he was going to obey God, but that he believed that despite that, the promise of God would still not fail. Because God had said to him, in Isaac will your seed be. That is, your descendants will come through Isaac. Isaac was still a boy. And God said, go and sacrifice him. I'm bringing out something. That indeed was great faith. That indeed was great faith. Let us assume Isaac was a teenager at that particular point in time. Remember that Abraham and Isaac, when he was about 100 years old, having been called when he was 75, that we are saying, in effect, that from the time God first called him, that for more than 40 years had passed before God now said, go and sacrifice Isaac. I'm bringing out something. That it took faith for him to sacrifice Isaac. That faith was built into him over the previous 40 years. Are you getting the point I'm making? So if I pray my prayer and say, God, how can I help develop? It's not overnight I'll suddenly wake up and discover all the great things I can do. No. As a teenager, God will have called me. As a young man, a young woman in my 20s, God will have called me. Alright? Maybe when I was in school, I used to be an unbeliever. God said, okay, now, give your life to Christ. So I give my life to Christ. I look for a job I don't find quickly, but one day I find. With the little I'm earning, I'm demonstrating faithfulness in little. I said, I want to help people inherit desolate heritages. The little money I have, I start using it in such a manner that I'm pleasing to God. Are you getting my point? Because one of the things that kill faith are the things we actually think is stimulating faith. A man gets up and said, I want a breakthrough, so I give an offering so I can get breakthrough. Listen, there is no shortcut to blessing from God, though. There is no shortcut. It's a walk with God, not a javelin throw with God. Do you get my point? You have to walk with God. It's not a pole vault with God. Just jump one day. You walk with God. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. He said before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm saying that it's obvious that that as a result of his constant walk with God, great faith was developed in the heart of Enoch. Are you getting my point? Now, so God gives me little. I take that little. I start demonstrating faithfulness in little. I don't wake up and say, God, I want a great breakthrough. I want to drive a car like everybody is driving. Therefore, I take all my money and, you know, I want to do a fast one with God. Let me quickly give an offering. God, please make sure you give me a car in return. No. I take my money and use it the way God said I should. I do my responsibility. I give out of the one I have. I help the poor. I help the work of God. I help people who are in need. I try to be a blessing. When God sees that, listen to me, he will increase me. Please, I am tired of the gospel that makes it look like you just wake up one morning. Anytime you need something from God, you just go and give him something, then he'll give you back. God is not a joker. That is a joke. The truth is that we walk with God constantly with a heart of righteousness. And as we do that, he builds up faith in our heart. So much that one day, God can walk up to a man who is absolutely poverty stricken and says, over the next 10 years, I am going to build in your life a multi-billion dollar company. And the man will believe it. And people will say he's crazy. You say, how come he believes it? It's because God gave him the spirit of faith. And I'm going to develop something today. And that's the fact that God gives each person something that he actually can believe. And I'll explain that further. So God begins to develop on that thing that that fellow can believe. Maybe the man is a designer. Maybe he's an artist or he's an architect or whatever it is. And suddenly God gives him a picture. Maybe he's a builder. I say, yeah, that's a very good example for Nigeria of today. God gives him a picture. All his life is inside his heart. You see, this is how it is. God has called him that I want you to help people inherit the desolate heritages. A friend of mine was giving me a quote the other day. Now, I can't remember the figures for sure, but just have an idea of what I'm going to say. He said that 80% of Americans own their own homes. He said the house they're living in, now I'm not very sure the figure, but get the picture, that the house they are living in belongs to them. Then he turned it around and said 80% of Nigerians don't own the homes they live in. I think he actually said 85. That you see, the exact opposite is what we have here. Are you getting my point? Now, it is not because the people are harder working than us. No. As a matter of fact, no. Now, so this is the point. So a young man looks at it and says, this is what is a picture of desolation right now. Do you get my point? That is, most people don't own their own homes. They have worked for 10, 20, 30 years in decent jobs. They don't own their own homes. As old people, they are still paying rent. He said, no, it is not right. They should be able to own their own property. And it's been shown as an example that it's easier for people to develop their businesses if they have their own homes. Because with that, they can approach a bank who will give them small money, knowing that they have adequate collateral, as an example. So if somebody looks at that, he said, no, we must do something about it. The first year, all he does is talk about it. Second year, he begins to have ideas, and people tell him he's very stupid. Do you follow my point? But the ideas just don't leave him alone. You know, you've heard my quarrel about being called a motivational speaker. I am explaining something to you. When real faith inside you is inside your heart, you don't need motivational speaking. As a matter of fact, God hardly used to talk to Abraham. Each time God will speak to Abraham, for the next 25 years, Abraham is running without vision. God speaks to Abraham today and won't talk to him for the next 10 years. For the next 10 years, Abraham is running with that vision of one single communication with heaven. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Go on, you know, we like to talk. As a matter of fact, we have read stories. You've heard of many people that everybody rose up against it. There was nobody encouraging them, yet they stood and overcame. Why? Because God first gave to them the spirit of faith. That's what I'm explaining. Are you getting my point? So the young man, instead of complaining or grumbling, he begins to say, how can I help people inherit the desolate heritage? And God has seen his heart that in the little money he had demonstrated faithfulness. Please, not this covetous giving that we do as Christians. We give to ourselves. We say we are giving to God. I'm sowing a seed for my car. Let me tell you, if you are an employer, as an example, how to sow a seed for a bigger business, I will tell you. It's good to give to the work of God. Really, please, I'm not trying to, look, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all, that people shouldn't. It's very important, of course, that there's what the Bible calls the priestly corner of life. That is, you give money to what is not your core business. For example, you give to the work of the ministry of God. You give to the fatherless, you give to the orphanage, you give to people who are in need. That's not your business, but you do it. Do you get my point? I call it the priestly corner of life. Without it, you are dead. It's called being rich toward God. But there is a seed that you can sow which has to do with your own business. You employ people, pay them well. Pay them on time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are making products. Let the first thing in your heart not be how much do I get. Let the first thing in your heart, how do I give the best quality products to our people who are going to patronize us? Are you getting my point? Now, that is a core seed that God will look at and pour faith for a greater business into your life. That's what I'm explaining. So this young man has been doing like that, and then God begins to give him ideas. Then suddenly one day, after many weeks and months of meditating, he suddenly has an idea that we can complete a whole house, a decent three-bedroom bungalow, and we will not have spent 2 million naira. We can do it in this country. We say, ah, is it possible? He said, watch me. After a while, God connects him. Somebody agrees to fund the first 10 units. They do it. Then they do 20 units. Before you know what's happening, they are building thousands of houses in every state headquarters in Nigeria. Then they move to local government headquarters. And somebody, they, of course, you know we like to write books. Someone started writing the books on how this company started. We were threatened with failure, but we stood. And start telling stories. Then people start trying to copy the steps without having the faith. Are you getting my point? Forgetting that the man who was able to overcome the adversity, I said the spirit of a man will bear his infirmity. It was because he had the spirit of faith. He had the vision. There was something clear before his eyes that he was seeing that the rest of you were not seeing. I read the story of Henry Ford. All of us know about Ford Motor Company. Do you know he started 2 motor companies before that one? Which either collapsed or he quarreled with people who were co-financing it. Are you getting what I'm saying? They quarreled because he had the vision of a low-price car produced from an assembly line. And let me tell you something. We said that the man invented assembly line. He invented the principle of assembly line, making the workers more productive. The only reason why he invented assembly line was because he wanted prices to come down. So every day he's thinking, how can price come down? Look, if one worker works harder, is he going to help us? No, why can't he work more efficiently? Do you know he used to go as far down as checking how long it takes one man to tighten 10 bolts? I wonder why can he not tighten those 10 bolts in half that time? Then he discovered that he has to walk to the bench to go and get the bolts. So he moved the bench to where the man was. He started the conveyor belt assembly line system because he did not want his workers to move from the spot where they were working. That they wasted too much time trying to get tools. So he stood there, you stand with your tool and the car you assembly comes to front of you. If your job is to tighten the fan belt, as soon as the fan belts are beside you, everything is beside the instrument, you tighten and the car moves to the next guy. So you can spend a day tightening 200 fan belts. What am I going to explain? It was not because let us make an assembly line. It was this car must be cheap. And God gave him the vision of how it could become cheap. Do you follow the point I'm making? So what am I trying to explain? So you see that great faith is not just, I want to drive a big car. I just wake up one day. I said something last time that I said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added. You get the point? So at the end of the day, if he wanted to fly private jets all over the world, he could. If he wanted to build a whole city and live in it alone, he could. But did he start out life like that? No. We have this mad, covetous faith that we operate these days. I carry my whole salary, I give as an offering. And then God gives me a Lamborghini as a result. You know, you are a crook, you should know that. Where are you going to drive the Lamborghini? You have not asked yourself. We want emergency breakthrough. Nobody is realizing that there's what the Bible calls a walk with God. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. Have you ever heard somebody preach that you can give an offering and God will forgive you of your sins? What kind of nonsense is that? What is wrong with repenting of your sin? It doesn't cost money. You know, it doesn't cost money to repent. When I can repent of it, the problem when people do such things that they don't want to stop sinning. They don't want to stop. It's easier to pay off. As if God is a mafia boss. You give him his part of the loot and he leaves you alone. You know, that's what the mafia bosses do. You can be a thief. In fact, the mafia bosses thrive on stealing. You are a thief, you run a brothel, or you sell drugs, you are an armed robber, but anytime you get a big hit, you come and cut him his own. You know, listen, that Christianity is a walk with God. Please, let's get down into our hearts and our ears. It is a walk with God. And if you walk with God, he builds up faith inside your heart, and eventually, this is what I was trying to explain, eventually you will discover the ability to do great things will be given to you. You begin to see things where nobody knew they existed. Are you getting my point? I said earlier, about a young girl I saw in an advert. They said she could see patterns in the midst of chaos. Everybody says land is so expensive. Land is so expensive. Houses are so expensive. Rent is just going up. And we sit down and complain morning, afternoon, and night. But listen to me. You probably are out there tonight listening to me. God said, through you and a few people like you, I will make land become cheap. I will make houses become inexpensive. We will construct homes for less than a quarter of what we are using to construct them now. And people will pay a fraction for financing over just 10 years compared to what they are paying right now to have their houses financed. Listen, I said earlier, when God wants to bless people, He uses somebody. He uses a few people. God said to Isaiah, it is too small a thing for me to do only the one you are praying that I should do through you. Just give you a car, give you a house, give you a... He said, I want you to not only have a car, but helping other people buy the one they use to better their own lives. Many people are praying. The answer to their prayer is funny, but this is just how God made life. You know, God has made this life for connection. I like the way Mike Mudok said it. He said, that's how God made life. It's for connection. If you are not blessing somebody, you won't live long. He said, the guarantee for long life is that make sure you are actively blessing somebody all the time. That is, you are connected to people. I'm trying to bring out something. There are blessings people are praying for. All right? That will not reach them until you do what God says you should do. You know, the other day I was just looking at my kids, you know, and I was thinking about children generally. That how come, I was just thinking about it, that this boy is small. If I decide to abuse him, he can't defend himself. If I decide to beat him until he dies, he can't defend himself. I say, God, why is life like this? That's just it. What answer did I get from God? Nothing. The fact that that's just the way life is. Somebody's safety, then it dawned on me. That boy's safety depends on me. If he's going to live beyond childhood, it depends on me. You don't realize what we do as parents. That is something that maybe your child passes, he's not wearing clothes. And you unconsciously, you look at his back, look at his legs, look at his chest. You are checking for any mark, any sign. If you see a mark that's not supposed to be there, you quickly rub your hand over it. Are you getting what I'm saying? You feel it. Is there something there? If you think worries, you ask questions. If you are too worried, go to the doctor. The child will never have gone to the doctor without you noticing that mark. That's not the way life is. There are so many things that depend on us. But the people that things depend on have become grumblers. I can't imagine why water is not flowing. I say it all the time. Many people who complain. You know, I hate newspapers that all they talk about. You know, they feature critics. Most critics can't do nothing. It's very easy to criticize. A man sits down and abuses government. I say, come, look at that man who's been abusing people, government for water not flowing. Just watch him. You know his village? Yes. Go and check the cost of the house he has in that village. Value it. 45 million naira. Ask the man, how much does it cost to sink a decent borehole in each one of the local government headquarters around your area? 500,000. That is, if you spend 10 million naira, water will flow. But what do? You spend it in with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Everybody, you know, of course, ignoramuses like yourself are calling you rank a day, the chief. I will never respect such a person. For what? Listen, what am I trying to explain? Each person must do the one he can. And I'm explaining something that God builds faith in the heart of people. Remember what I said about Abraham? He said, look at Abraham. I know him. He will teach his children and his household after him. He will teach them how to do justice and righteousness so that I can do for them what I really want to do. What am I doing to you tonight? I'm teaching you justice and righteousness. I'm telling you, if you don't operate these things, forget, you can pray. Listen, you know, Christians have been thoroughly deceived. They think it's to pray all night and give fat offering. Listen, a very good offering is good. Without fat offerings, listen, I won't be preaching to you this night. This broadcast is not free. It's not free. Some people think that because we have too much money, we don't know what to do with it. That's our preaching. No, we are doing an assignment. There are people paying. It's fat offering. But I still have to tell you the truth. It is not the key to emergency breaking. I will be blessed for preaching to you. Somebody is being blessed for paying for this broadcast. People are being blessed for paying for it. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Everybody has a duty. But I'm saying that stop. You don't think you can just bribe God without doing what is right daily. And you will get emergency breakthrough. You can't do that. I will tell you the truth, you cannot. Abraham was known for a constant walk with God. God said to bring forth a great thing through him, I need to build his faith. And then he began to teach him. When they took his wife, God taught him. I mean, he went out somewhere. Abimelech took his wife. God fought for him. And his wife was restored to him. God said, in effect, can you see? I am your shield and your buckler. I am your defense. I'm your high tower. You don't need to be afraid. He learned that. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I mean, a quarrel came one day between his headsmen and that of Lot. God had taught him that, listen, anywhere you go, I will bless you. So he called Lot. He said, Lot, take anywhere you like. Just go there. As soon as Lot departed from him, God came out again. He said, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Look around. Anything you can see, I will give you, including that place that Lot chose. He learned it. At the end of the day, when he had learned enough, God appeared on his doorstep one day. He said, I will return to you next year, and your wife Sarah will indeed be a child. For the first time, God gave him a date. Normally, God doesn't give dates. God says, walk before me and be perfect and I will bless you. But then when he had walked and his perfection had reached that level, when his faith has reached that particular level, then God walked up to him one day and gave him a date. Normally, God doesn't give dates. Just say, walk before me and be perfect and I will bless you. And you constantly walk with him and you will be and you will increase your walk to perfection. But when you reach a particular level of perfection, God now gave him a date. Are you getting my point? Because God had built his faith to that level and he was able to lay hold of what God was going to do in his life. That is, he could believe. Before that, he couldn't believe. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. A lot of people are reaching out for things they can't believe. What I'm teaching is how to get the capacity to believe. It's not just desire. Anybody can desire. Englishman said, if wishes were horses, even beggars would ride. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm describing how to get that capacity to believe. So that God will not appear one day and say, this is what we are going to do between now and next week. And the man, his heart will not shake. And the Bible says it is to him according to his faith. I hope what I've said has made sense there.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.